You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite authors in all of American literature is the poet Robert Frost. Some of us are old enough to remember that he read a poem that he wrote at the inauguration of President John Kennedy. That goes back to 1960, if you are trying to date yourself. But he started much, much earlier than that, way back near the beginning of the 20th century. And I like all of his work, but one of his most beautiful poems, in my judgment, was one of the first ones he wrote. And it was entitled Mending Wall. And he used an image from his native New England, out there where he lived in Massachusetts or Vermont or New Hampshire, from the farming that takes place in that area. They have a hard scrabble time of farming in that area because there's a lot of rocky ground. And it's been the custom, and still is in many places out there, that they didn't have fences made of barbed wire like we do here in the Midwest. They simply used the rocks that were everywhere and brought them together and made fences out of rocks between different properties. And as you might imagine, in the winter time, a lot of moisture got in there and froze, and the rocks would tumble down. And so it was the custom, might still be, for two landowners, one on either side of the fence, to meet on a certain day in the springtime and to walk the line and repair the wall, or mend the wall, as they say. And Robert Frost saw some deep symbolism in this practice, and on his side of the property, he could see no reason for doing this. And several times in the poem, he uses the line, "Something there is that doesn't love a wall." But then his neighbor on the other side says, "Well, we gotta have these darn things." And he says several times, "Good fences make good neighbors." And on the poem goes, and it's just a beautiful, picturesque way of talking about how people relate to each other. Robert Frost on his side of the wall, he says, "If we had cows, maybe there'd be a reason for this silly wall." But he says, "I have an apple orchard and he has pine trees. And my apple trees are not going to go over there and eat his pine cones. So why do we need this darn thing?" Something there is that doesn't love a wall. He was talking not about physical walls. He was talking about the barriers that we erect to separate us from our closest relations and our neighbors and for most other human beings. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about in this gospel according to St. Luke. People have been saying to me all week, "Oh, I'm so glad you got to preach about that, not me. Jesus is pretty rough." But I think it's just Jesus being a realist. Jesus telling the truth about human nature. This is not your old sweet Jesus, peace at any price kind of Jesus. This is Jesus who understood that barriers exist, that conflicts go on even in families. And anybody who has ever done any family counseling knows that it is exactly as Jesus said. Father and son, mother and daughter, in-laws, outlaws, the whole pack. Everybody's always fighting about something. And so Jesus is simply expressing a realistic fact about human relations, we erect barriers between ourselves and our neighbors, and then we let conflicts and hostilities sometimes simmer on forever and ever. So Jesus is not saying that there's anything wrong with having conflict. What is wrong is not doing something about them. And that's, I think, where we have to go for our lesson on this particular Sunday. So let's accept the fact. First of all, Jesus quite accurately predicted exactly what was going to happen after his resurrection. Some people were going to believe and become Christians, and some people were going to remain Jewish. And so households were divided, two against three and three against two, just exactly as Jesus said. But we know it's not just religious differences. There are 1,001 reasons why people have conflicts. It's down through history. Any way you slice the human community, there are disagreements and conflicts, and people are very, very angry. Where do you want to start for examples? I work in prisons. That's the first thing you notice when you go in a prison. Everybody's mad. I mean, everybody. And I often say to wardens when I'm in a prison, to try to lighten up the situation a little bit, you guys do everything you can to get everybody mad in here, and then you make them take anger management classes. There's something goofy about this picture, it seems to me. We just let anger go on and on, and then we massage it a little bit, and it just keeps reproducing itself. But it's not just those kind of places where it's almost a daily occurrence. We know that anger and disagreements happen, as Jesus said, in families. It happens in workplaces. I couldn't tell you how many times I have heard people tell me they got this horrible boss at work. And going to work for 8 hours a day is a kind of a practice in anger, day in and day out. It goes on there. It goes on every place. You don't want to get me talking about our political campaign that's going on now. And on it goes. From the family level right on up to international relations, everybody's mad at somebody else, and few people have the skills to do anything about it. So, what can we learn? First of all, I think we should, as Christians, commit ourselves to not adding to the problem. We should do everything we can to tear down barriers that separate people rather than erecting fences and walls. And I'm talking about at any place in human society, including across the southern border of the United States. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, and good fences simply do not make good neighbors. And so we as Christians need to commit ourselves to peacemaking, to reconciliation, to doing what we can, at the very least by not adding fuel to the flames. And if we have skills at mediation, doing that, helping people get things on top of the table, deal with them, and achieve peace. Jesus said he came to light the earth on fire, and that's exactly what has to happen before we ever get to any kind of real deep and lasting peace. And so we need to be people who work at reconciliation, and above all, who practice charity. We need to constantly remind ourselves it's okay to disagree with people over issues and policies and all those kind of things, but not to attack persons. That's the magic line. When you cross that, you have broken God's commandment and just good old common sense as well. We have got to keep ourselves focused on issues and things that are important, be able to disagree, and still respect one another. I had an experience last week. I went out to Boston Robert Frost neighborhood, as a matter of fact, for a meeting of Catholic prison chaplains from all over the country. And believe me, in our association, we know how to fight too. I've been disagreeing with some of those nuts on the East Coast for 15 years now. But we were able to at least keep it at the level of issues, to talk about how we should go about our ministry and not attack each other as persons or as human beings. You have to be very careful that you don't cross that line. We need to learn good listening skills, learn how to compromise with one another, and as St. Paul or whoever wrote the letter to the Hebrews said in our second reading today, we need to persevere and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who gave us an example of how to deal with conflict and to come out victorious. In another one of the letters in the New Testament, I forget which one, the sacred writer says that Jesus has broken down the barrier, the wall that separated us from God and from one another, and has brought us together in one body. And I like to think when we celebrate the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, that when we gather at this table, when we gather in this church, we are modeling for ourselves and for the rest of the world how it is to live without walls and fences dividing us. We all come equally and with love and respect for one another. Let us ask God, as we hear these honest scriptures today, to help us to work toward this type of unity and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.